Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Big Facts, No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only podcast that's number one with stingy teens and cringy memes. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Is there a reason why you're not eating that as like a smoothie and why it's you're eating it like cereal?
Because I made an acai bowl. Like it's slightly firmer than it would be to drink.
Oh, okay. It kind of just looks like you poured a smoothie into a bowl.
No, it's a little firmer. I didn't put like a ton of like water or almond milk or whatever you'd put to...
I see. But no toppings?
I put some cashews in there, but bad idea. They didn't taste good in my acai banana blackberry strawberry bowl.
I mean, that sounds like a winning combination to me.
I guess the cashews were just like, I don't know.
Salted or unsalted? And roasted or unroasted?
Unroasted, unsalted.
Seems like it should be fine to me. Conceptually, but what do I know?
Well, I mean, they also weren't cashew bits. They weren't like little cashew, bits and pieces. They were full cashews, and maybe that's the problem. I don't want like that much of a crunch in the middle of the bowl. What I should have done is taken some of those blackberries, because the ones that didn't blend very well and there was like little blackberry bits left that I could crunch on, that was a really nice textural disruption, much better than the cashews. So I should have just...
Textural disruption.
Yeah.
Look at this food writer over here. What I loved was the heterogeneity of the textural disruption.
Shout out to Adam Ragusea.
Yeah. Love that guy.
I told you that story, right, of when my old roommate, when Ben used the word heterogeneity once, and I was like, oh, so you were watching an Adam Ragusea. He used heterogeneity to describe food. I went, oh, so you were watching an Adam Ragusea video, and he went, how'd you know? I was like, because you just described food as heterogeneous. And he was like, oh, I didn't even realize that's where I picked it up from.
He's cooking his HelloFresh meal, and he's like, bam! And you're like, you're watching Emerald, weren't you? And he's like, how'd you know?
When he's cooking his HelloFresh meal, and he's like, I cut the carrots into slightly different sizes, so there's heterogeneous.
Oh, I don't know why. I just assumed when I went to Food Network Stars, you were going to go for the Paula Deen one, and I was like, damn it, Paul gets this one, so I don't get to use it. But I get to do it now. So he's doing his HelloFresh meal, and he's saying the N-word. You're like, hey, you were watching Paula Deen, weren't you? And he's like, how do you know?
And that's when he turns around, and he's in blackface, too. That's when he turns around, I see his face. It's covered in shoe shine polish. Shout out to Paula Deen.
Shout out to people in blackface. It is technically Halloween on the day that we're recording this. Although this is a timeless ep, so forget I said that. It's Halloween of who knows what year.
It's not a timeless ep. We're releasing it in place of next Sunday's episode.
Oh, shit. Okay, cool. Then yeah, it's Halloween, baby.
It's Halloween while we record. So my sister called me because her friend used to live in this neighborhood I live in now. And she called me and told me, like, just so you know, apparently your neighborhood's a big Halloween trick-or-treating spot. And I hadn't known that. So I looked through my cabinet and I had about half a 40 count box of Welch's fruit snacks left. So I put those in a glass Pyrex and put them outside on the...
In a glass Pyrex?
Yeah, that's...
So you're hoping that at the end of it, Stove God Cooks comes and he's like, ooh, I wonder if there's anything for me.
And he walks into my house and whips up a batch of crack.
I'ma heat the Pyrex till it break.
That's all I had because all my bowls were dirty from my fries experiments I've been doing recently since I got a fry cutter.
Oh, yes, of course.
Naturally. So all my
bowls. Wait, are those soaking bowls or those presenting bowls?
Soaking bowls, and then I dry them out and use them for tossing the fries in seasoning after they cook.
I see. And what have you learned so far? What are your discoveries?
Well, I was trying to avoid the incredibly involved recipes. So I didn't really want
a triple fry or a double fry.
Yeah, I didn't want a double fry, and I didn't want to cover in like cornstarch.
I think it's baking soda, right?
Baking soda, whichever one it is. I didn't want to have
to make it alkaline, which breaks down the proteins, yeah.
So
or the starches?
Right now, I'm going with 450 for about 25 minutes before a flip and then another 25. I am soaking them in hot water. I don't want to boil them because that seems like too much effort. I'm trying to find a recipe that I'll want to make often, so I don't want two cooking methods involved. I don't want to have to boil, then bake.
Is there a reason why you told the audience the amount of minutes in minutes and not in quibbies? The new standard for how long to measure something in?
Wait, fill me in. What's a quibby?
That was the failed a social media platform where everything was 10 minutes. And so it was like, it's going to be a wait for this restaurant. Oh, a quibby. And Chance the Rapper's like, oh, it's just a quibby.
Oh, wait, they tried to pay like influencers to use it as a time span? Also, isn't like this like a really out of date reference? Wasn't this like 4 years ago? What was Quibi? Yeah,
that was the joke. That was the idea of like, why would you call it in a Quibi? That's 2.5 Quibis. That's very divisible.
Why was it on your mind?
Oh, I don't know. That's what I thought about when you said 25 minutes. I thought about
so
Chance the Rapper just being
the
like,
last
2.5
5
Quibis.
Years, anytime somebody says,
I don't know if 5 is accurate. It might be like 3.
You've been thinking, why did they say Quibi?
Can't get it off my mind. The other thing that they did is that because it was mobile, they had like episodes of a show that's 10 minutes long, but it's different if you do it vertical versus horizontal.
Did you ever watch?
They were innovating, bro.
Did you ever watch the? And I think they were actually pretty good about keeping their shows on lock because they didn't want people to like watch them on other platforms like YouTube since it was a paid platform. But did you ever see clips of that show where the woman's arm is gold? Like she gets into a car crash and her husband replaces her arm with a gold arm, but it's like also a curse
because she minuses touches everything. Or
no, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like I remember the acting was so bad. I feel like there was a scene where she was like, damn, this gold arm of mine.
Was it a Christian thing or what? I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, it was really funny. No, it was completely earnest. I don't think it was a Christian thing. It was a Quibi original. We'll have to find it and put it in the description if we can find
it. Oh,
it
was a Quibi
it.
Original. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. It was a completely vertically shot thing. The way I watched it was, I want to say on Twitter, somebody posted a video of another phone pointing at a phone with that show playing as you could hear them laughing in the background.
Best way to watch something.
I think Quibi was pretty quick on that. It was copyright violation. So I remember like when I went back to show somebody, I was like, oh shit, the video got taken down.
I mean, they only have so much. They really only had so much to offer.
I can't remember the plot. It was either the wife or husband had to like got in an accident, had to have their arm replaced with a golden arm. And then for some reason it was a curse. They were like, damn, this golden arm of mine.
Because it's really soft and like pliable. Isn't like 24 karat gold like pretty malleable?
This is why we gotta find it, man. This is the Quibi original. Might have been the best. It might be lost to me.
Might be, to be honest.
Big facts, no cap nation. Make this happen.
When did they become a nation?
I feel like that's when you ask a fan base to do something tough, you call them a nation.
When you're calling upon them to muster up the courage to be greater than they think they can be.
Yeah. Everybody mail in a baseball cap because Big Facts No Cap got canceled to let the studio know that you want it to come back on air.
Did you want to say anything more about your fries or your chips before I derailed our conversation?
No. Thank you for derailing it. I don't think that was interesting.
I love hearing about your patats.
The many ways that I prepare bototas.
Is a French fry cutter like you can make waffle fries or steak cut fries or like shoestring, or is it like?
I don't think it could do waffle fries. I think that's like a whole different type of cut.
That's a mandolin that you need for that.
Oh, yeah. I guess a mandolin with like wrinkles in the blade.
You do it one way and then you turn it 90 degrees and do it the other way and you get a crinkle cut fry or a waffle fry.
I'm trying to figure out how that would work. Oh, like not this way, like perpendicular. Yeah, wow. I guess that would work. Wow. Science, man.
Science, yeah. And Paul is like, yeah, I think we all knew that's how you make a waffle cut fry. I don't know why Pavlov had to do the experiment to show that's how you make a waffle fry.
I stand by that. We're leaving it in the last episode because that's how much I stand by that.
All right.
I'm sorry you're so stupid that you didn't know that dogs salivate when they're hungry until somebody told you.
All right. Did I bring up during that conversation about how Jordan, who I went to school with, who was the quote-unquote smart kid in our class, I don't know why I said quote unquote. He was definitely the smartest kid in our class. He got into an argument with our psychology teacher because her big thing was teaching really old psychology to high school students. And she was like, yeah, psychology is a field where they like prove things that we kind of already know to be true. And he's like, no, that's not the point of the field. Like, a lot of, like, new psychology, like, teaches us new things about how our brain works. And he was, like, so incensed by her being like, yeah, it's about showing us how common sense is true through science.
I guess. I think my big problem is I don't think a lot of, like, psychological studies I see really are very convincing to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, we already talked about that last time, but we don't need to go through that again. Nah. What's going on with you, Paul?
I think I started all of this by trying to say that I put 25 Welch's packets out for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, because that's what you thought candy was.
It's all I had at home.
I was about to say, did you not put out just a solid sheet of apricot, like dried apricot? And just be like, take a piece, pass it around.
One bite each. I'm watching. Okay. One bite.
Everyone take this one bite from the big sheet of, of apricot.
But right before this episode started, I did go check, and there was only 2 bags of Welch's fruit snacks left. So I've had like 20 people come by while I was just at home and didn't even realize.
And no one egged your house for that, damn.
Welch's fruit snacks kind of rock. I don't know why you think this would be like a snack kids don't want.
I'd be a little disappointed.
Really?
No, I kind of like fruity things over chocolatey things, but like a Gusher would be better than a Welch's fruit.
Yeah, well, I didn't have Gushers. Okay, Adrian.
You don't want to be the cool guy, like the one cool guy in the neighborhood I used to go to that just cooked hot dogs for everybody? He just grilled out the whole night and gave out barrel juices?
I think that's a lot creepier when you don't have children or a connection to the neighborhood.
My name's they Paul. I'm new in town.
They knock on my door and I'm like, come in, children. I'm cooking hot dogs on my stove.
Okay, so he grilled them outside.
I'm boiling hot dogs on my stovetop. Come in and make yourself one.
My name's Paul. I'm single. I'm new in town. And I love getting dogged down. That's a good way to meet. That's a good way to meet the community.
Oh, yeah. And then it's like that scene from the end of School of Rock where I'm like, no, I didn't mean dog down like that. I wanted to touch your children. Oh, God, it's getting worse.
And I think they touched me, too.
And I think they touched me, too. How was your week?
My week? It's been a day. It's been a day since we've recorded.
How was your day without me? Bleak.
It sucked. Vaccines hurt, man. Don't get them.
Oh,
my arm's still
sore?
A little bit sore. It's still sore after 2 days.
Did you get sick at all?
I got like chills and stuff like that I was able to nap through on the first day, but mostly it was just that my arm like physically like hurt to do anything with.
That the soreness does suck.
Oh, I will say I didn't mention this during the podcast episode that happened right after this, and I don't know how to like you don't tip the person who gives you your vaccine, so like there's no way to give them constructive feedback. Which I guess I don't believe in tips as constructive feedback. I think they don't correlate to how well you actually do your job. But, like, there's no interface there where you can really comfortably say, like, I went to CVS. The app said, check in now. We're going to let them know that you're here. Go wait in the pharmacy area or, like, in the vaccine area. I wait there for, like, 25 minutes. I walk up to the pharmacy and I'm like, hey, I've been waiting for 25 minutes. Like, do I just keep waiting? And the guy's like, no, we're going to get someone for you. And the guy's like, he seems angry at me. And then he's like, okay, I'll be over there in like a minute. And he comes over and he's like, oh, there used to be a sign here that said you go check in at the pharmacy. I guess someone took that off. That's my bad. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's the resolution we get there is I just lost half an hour of my life, which is partly on me. I should be more assertive, but.
And then he stabbed you really hard with the vaccine.
Yeah, he did 3 times.
What was the 3rd vaccine you took?
Hepatitis, baby.
Hepatitis A.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one we didn't get as a baby, so now they're, who told you should get it? Like, your doctor, or?
The CVS app was like, hey, you want to add another one on? It's free. And I was like, well, if it's free, I love a good deal.
But you only get that once in your life, right? So.
I gotta do another, it's a 2-dose thing, but yeah, I think you only do that once in your life.
They give it, yeah. They started recommending you give it to babies after we were, like, teenagers.
Makes sense.
What else was I gonna say? Oh, I had a similar weird experience when I went to get my vaccine. I guess it was like a month or 2 ago. I don't, you know, so a little bit different. But I guess people were still having trouble getting the new COVID vaccine at that point, or like the Yeah. I don't think that many people wanted it, but the supply chains weren't great.
Well, there's two things. Is that one is that there's a new kind that came out called, like, what is it, like the Nanovax or something like that? That's, like, apparently different or, like, more. I don't actually know what it is. I just know that it was very delineated from the other things. I just got another Moderna.
Now they're doing the iPod naming scheme. We're getting a Nano.
But I think the other thing is that people have been saying this for a while now. Like, the COVID vaccine is now just going to be a seasonal vaccine like the flu. Like, you kind of just have to get one every fall now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got the first one of those, yeah. And I guess the supply chain wasn't quite there yet. So despite the fact that I'd made a reservation at CVS, I showed up there, and they were like, oh, you ready for your flu shot? I was like, well, yeah, but also I got a flu and, like, COVID, so I'll get that one next. And they were like, oh, we don't have the COVID here. It's like, well, I made a reservation for it. And she's like, if you want the COVID, we're going to have to call up a place and see who has it. And so she called up a couple places, and then she was like, oh, the one, like, just a block or two over, like, in Charlotte.
No, she wasn't like, oh, we can get it here with, like, Uber Eats in, like, 12 minutes or so.
And then she also seemed like, it was one of those things where then I heard her, like, gossiping with the other people at the CVS. She was like, how'd they get it? Why didn't we get one that was leaving?
That's funny. No, the only other thing that I had about it was, I was in Raley's today, which, I didn't realize it was as close to a Publix as it was. It was more bougie than I thought it was going to be. Definitely the kind of place where you shouldn't go in there without a plan like I did. But there was an intercom announcement that was like, hey, at our pharmacy, you can get in a flu shot with no appointment. And we also have COVID vaccines. And for in a limited supply for pregnant people, some other kind of people, and vegans, we have like the special kind that you need to get if you don't want to get the non-vegan kind of COVID vaccine, which I didn't know was a thing, but that's cool, I guess. I don't know. I'm glad we have those vegan options for our vegan homies.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want them compromising their morality to protect their neighbors, their community.
Well, I mean, I guess, why am I defending vegans? Hopefully they wouldn't refuse it if there wasn't a vegan option. But if the technology is there to make it vegan, I guess it's good that we use that for them.
They make it with almond milk.
Oh, come on now.
They make it with oat milk. You know, that's the more popular thing now.
I feel like vegans are a step ahead. That's what's popular with us non-vegans at the store. Like, they must be all... Okay, I'm not going to do a blank milk joke. That's so tired.
I was going to say, should we do an episode on milk where we just try every type of macadamia, pistachio, cashew, almond, whole cow's milk type thing? Buffalo milk, camel milk?
That sounds horse milk. So expensive. But yes.
I mean, we should. I don't have the fridge space, so we'll do it next time I house it. That's the main thing.
And then we do the Coke freestyle machine thing where we mix a little bit of each one and see if it makes a better milk.
We have someone come over who the other person has texted that says, combine these three milks, and you have to pick out what the three milks are. Which is, you said you played that at your place that you worked at, right?
No.
Oh, that was a way we'd kill time at Tokyo Grill, is we'd take turns filling a to-go cup with three different sodas, and you'd have to try and guess what the three sodas that made it were.
Adrian, they were just making you drink their piss. It was hazing.
I always said it tastes like Mountain Dew, Mellow Yellow, and piss. And they were always like, you got one of them right. And I was like, all right. I mean, I don't want to get a DUI, but I'm going to drink all this.
Good job including Mellow Yellow in that combination of three. That was the funniest option to include with piss.
Well, as that is a given.
Folks, this is why you come to Big Facts No Cap. Other people wouldn't do it like that.
Exactly. Okay. Oh, do you want to do a mini roundup? Or do you have anything from the last day?
I rewatched the first episode of Friday Night Lights to get in character. As coach from Friday Night
Are you
Lights.
In your costume right now, or what are you doing?
No, that's fine. Oh, okay. Do you want me to get into costume? Oh, I could send you a photo, actually. No, that'll be okay. Better.
Yeah. If I go out tonight, I wash my Ash costume, so I can send you a pic of that. But you already have one. You already know what I look like. I hate how I look in hats. I feel like I look bald, and I look way too round in my face.
And wait, what's wrong with looking bald? Come over here, motherfucker.
Doesn't look good on me. It looks good on Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh, you're worried about offending her, not me. That was where your mind went. But yeah, the first episode of Friday Night Lights. As great as always, great show. I forgot the scene where the little kid is talking to the, you know, they have like a peewee versus a high school football team like match.
What do you mean you know? I didn't watch this.
You know that thing, that sometimes happens, like where the like varsity team plays like a peewee team, like as a...
No, that sounds like it's just slaughter. Is that from South Park? Like, when they let the kids play?
Playfully, to inspire them. And after,
but there's definitely one guy who takes it way too seriously. Yeah.
And after the game of the show, there's a scene where it's like, you know, he's the kid from the varsity team that he's one of the main characters of the show. And he's definitely going to go on to play in college and NFL. Like, he's the number one pick in the country, quarterback. Notre Dame is scouting him, all that. And the little kid looks to him and he's like, Street, Mr. Street, do you think God loves football? And the like music starts playing all emotional, and he like looks back and replies, and he's like, son, I think everyone loves football. See the end. And it's such a great moment, but I was like, any other show, I would definitely call that so lame. I don't know how they pull it off.
You can't use the theme yet.
I don't know how they pull it off, but it's incredible.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a big YMS complaint, is people trying to manipulate you through the use of music, which, like, why don't more people use that in their daily lives? Like, when they're making an apology, they play a song or whatever, like, they bring out the old uke in real life to, like, start apologizing and just be, like making their apology way more,
It did backfire for, who was that? What did she do? The YouTube
Colleen woman. Ballinger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bringing out the uke did not help her.
Yeah, but I would do it more tastefully. I'd be like, bam, 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 bam.
Oh, I also never realized until this watch through of the first episode that they really set up the Christian speed metal band. That's not going to come in until way later in episode one.
There's a Christian speed metal band?
Yeah, the character, it's Jesse Plemons. He's friends with the nerd who ends up being good at football. So, like, there's a nerdy kid duo, and Jesse Plemons' character in the first episode goes, I've been thinking of starting a Christian speed metal band. You in? And it's really great. It's very odd character for him, but that is, like, a later plot line. I think, like, the next season, it's a plot line. It's very funny that they set it up this early.
Well, either that or they, like, went back to it and they were like, hey, do you want to bring that back in? We're kind of out of ideas.
That's true.
As opposed to what's the theory or knowledge on Pokemon bringing Ho-Oh in episode one? Did they know that they were going to for sure have a second region in season, or like
what's weird about
was it supposed
that to
be
me,
like a
what's weird about that to me is Ho-Oh doesn't end up being that special, not
important.
For a special,
it's just a bird in a temple.
Yeah, as it should be considering how much import they give it in episode one.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being one of three. Why didn't they use Zapdos?
One of two.
Moltres. Oh, yeah. Ho-Oh and... Oh, sorry, I was getting Ho-Oh and Articuno mixed up for some reason. Ho-Oh and...
Lugia.
Lugia. Oh, yeah. Sky and Water.
But, yeah, so Friday Night Lights, timeless classic.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else?
No.
I had two things to bring up. One was, I finally made my way back to the gym after a little bit of a hiatus, and I think I've talked before about how I don't like how Planet Fitness, the second to the left monitor or TV is always on Fox News, and I had the very bad luck of 2 minutes into my workout, my headphones are dead. So I'm watching Fox News, and I'm like, okay, this shit sucks, I'm gonna see what's on the other ones. And the one that just plays like stock footage, apparently today decided to start playing footage of people breaking world records. And not, like, really interesting ones, but, like, the ones you could do in, like, a high school gym. Like, every single one of them was filmed in, like, a high school facility. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of rollerblades and a lot of skateboards. And apparently, if you know how to rollerblade, you're already, like, halfway to a world record. If you're willing to learn another skill to do on top of that. Especially if you can do things backwards. So, shout out to that. I had a surprisingly fun amount of time watching people break the world record for, like, longest amount of time. Skating backwards on one wheel on each foot.
Oh, I was thinking like they were just doing random shit on top, like they were first
person. Oh, that was the other thing, was like longest conga line with people all on rollerblades.
Ah. I don't know why my mind went to somebody doing taxes on their phone on a rollerblade, being like quickest taxes complete on a rollerblade.
No. I mean, there are other things like most amount of like burpees done in 1 minute while on rollerblades. Like it was stuff like that.
Hmm.
Which did look very athletic. They all looked like they had really strong cores, which I was like, I'm gonna use that as motivation to get my core nice and strong, keep it tight. And then I watched a horror movie from 1981, Possession. If you're looking for one last wreck for spooky season, if you're Adam or Phil or someone else who actually listens to the pod and wants an MP3 of it or an MP4 of it because it's really hard to find online, I'll send it to you. Just ask. It was a hard movie to get through just because, like, it has like 3 minute scenes and it's only 2 hours, but every scene is just really intense and like really like hard to get through. And so the first half is really like realistic. Like, so like the simple like summary is it's two people who are breaking up. They have a child together, and neither of them seem to be able to communicate to each other why things aren't working or like why they don't love each other anymore. And especially the male partner is more of like, I still want this to work. And so like the first hour is just a very realistic, hard to watch, like two people breaking up a relationship while they have a kid together. And then the second half just gets into a weird supernatural whole thing. And so, yeah, I think it's good, especially for the time and like the way that they decided to do it stylistically. It works really well. And then there's one scene from it, from the subway scene, you might know, is like people sometimes like meme on that or like use it for things. You might have seen it from there, but it's yeah, it's pretty good. That's it for me. My last little spooky recommendation for Halloween.
All right, Adrian, you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it, bruh.
Cringe.
Paul, I think you're an expert on the... Oh, okay.
Cringy.
Cringe.
Oh, I can't even watch The Office. It's too cringy.
Scat's tats, baby.
Yeah, that episode, it kills me. I literally died.
I mean, you are joking, but like not a bad way for like if you want to get to the real original definition of cringe. That's what it is. It's something that's hard to watch.
Yeah, not to get too contra points. Or did she actually say this was the wrong definition? What was the one? It's like embarrassment, but for somebody else is cringe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like a
no,
pretty...
No, because you can have self-cringe for sure.
Yeah, but usually it's for an older version of yourself, right? Like it's for you in the past. So maybe externalized through time or space. In fact, Dr. Einstein.
Dr. Einstein?
Dr. Einstein even taught us that that they're just one interwoven fabric of space-time. So is you in the past not really a different person? Adrian, make fun of me. This, like, if you don't call me a bitch, the audience thinks I'm being sincere.
Sorry. Now I'm thinking about the time where I literally brought this in, where I was antagonistic in a religious studies class that I took in undergrad. And like literally at one point we were reading a Buddhist scripture about how energy and matter are all the same. And I was like, isn't that just E equals MC squared? Like, isn't that actually an equation like relating energy and matter? And I was like, how is that like a spiritual understanding? Like, or is that like a spiritual novelty?
Doesn't that just make Buddhism seem more true if they knew that before the scientists?
Shit, that's true. It's kind of like in my last essay, I really wanted to make a lot of good points. And instead I was off a bunch of pain medicine and with a broken collarbone. But like the video we watched of the old yogi who spends all day breathing in and breathing out, being able to demonstrate to a crowd that he can like breathe in for 4 minutes and breathe out for 4 minutes. And he's like, what do you think he does with his whole day? Like, yeah, if he spent all day skipping, you'd be really good at skipping. Like, I don't know what to tell you, brother.
Don't we all spend all day breathing in and breathing out?
Not in the way that he does. Yeah, so cringe. Are we defining it, or what do you want to do? If you see it, you know it?
Yeah, I think I ran with, right, the, like, external embarrassment.
Yeah, whether or not that external is something else, or you from a different time or space. As Paul eloquently put it. Yeah, you had any stories for us, Paul?
Personal cringe. Oh, I one time in high school 100% did the scene from the first Spider-Man where somebody's waving. You think they're waving to you. You wave back in the hallway, and then they were waving at somebody behind you.
Yeah. I was eating a peach on a street in New York City, and someone started waving at me, so I started waving at them. And then they were clearly waving to the person behind me, and so I just started yelling, I have a peach! Hey, everyone, look at me! I have a peach! Just to, like, try and save face.
Wait, what is that from?
That's an old Louis joke. Look at me! I have a peach!
Trying to remember other cringy moments.
I remember my undergrad called me cringe once, which I have to imagine they do behind my back all the time. I'm only getting older. I'm only getting more cringe all the time. But Charlie's daughter came to visit us at the lab facility that day, and it was me, my undergrad Brianna, and Emily, a friend of the pod, and she came in, she said hi, she's very cute, she was like trained to like do a little kiss goodbye to everybody, and then she left. And she's a little ginger or whatever, and Charlie is a, you know, brunette, and his wife's a blondie. And so, yeah, I was like, I can't remember who brought it up. She was like, I didn't expect her to have red hair. And I was like, yeah, she's got a little tinge of the ginge. And she said that it was cringe to say tinge of the ginge. And I was like, it's cringe to say tinge of the ginge? And then I started rhyming more. And I was just like, I'm going to lean into it. I'm an old man.
I don't know if that's cringe. To me, that's just like, it's too small to be cringe, I guess.
I guess so. I don't know. She called me out in front of everybody. And that by everybody, I mean her and Emily. But other times, fashion choices?
Yeah. Did you ever wear like a fedora or something? I don't know. Something you look back on and you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't.
I wore a vest over a t-shirt for a little bit freshman year of college or high school.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's not even Avril Lavigne. What is that to do?
Disney?
Like, was it like
Disney? It's like Jonas Brothers.
I was going to say Fall Out Boy. Yeah. Vest over a regular shirt.
It's the kind of queer-coded character in a Disney movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a similar vein, I started wearing a scarf freshman year of high school, too. And I remember, I think I was right on that, and that we just lived in an uncultured place. But I remember Hunter being like, you came in, and I was like, oh, look at Mr. Moneybags over here. And I was like, this was $12 at Target. I don't know what you're talking about.
We definitely did not live somewhere that got cold enough for people to wear scarves, though, to be fair.
Yeah, it was for fashion.
It was for fashion. Cringe. I know I have some good cringe stories. I'm just like, it's one of those things where on the test, it's a lot harder to remember.
Yeah, I just remember, yeah, we've talked about this plenty of times. I think we've talked about this on pod. I just don't like that it kind of lost on meaning for a while. And I don't really know where it's at now. It feels like people don't really talk about it very much. But yeah, I was always really frustrated. I was just always really frustrated with it for a while. Where just like anything you didn't like was cringe.
Oh, yeah, I remember that phase. I never agreed with you on it because you're always like, what does cringe even mean? I was like, I feel like it makes sense what it means. But
I don't think it did. I think it became so nebulous as to essentially not mean anything.
Interesting way to defend the fact that you just didn't know what it meant.
I think I very clearly knew what it meant. I knew it. I was on the early tip of it. Because it's cringe comedy is where it comes from, I have to imagine. Maybe ContraPoints goes into the history more of it, but
what was I gonna say? You have the story about RZA saying RZA is your favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty good classic cringe.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time we got really drunk in high school and I fell ass first into a South Carolina lawn ornament.
A metal palmetto flag thing. Yeah, it's not your fault that the palmetto flag is basically an immobile saw when not when made
and
into a metal
very hurtfully
decoration.
Kept implying to everybody that I'd been anally penetrated by it, but it had only grazed the cheeks. Which I'm not even gonna call you and Hunter out for how problematic it is that you guys thought it would be funny for a guy to be anally penetrated.
Hey, people make prison jokes all the time. Still, that's not my fault.
Maybe you need to check yourself for having thought that was funny.
I thought it was funny that you were having sex with a plant. Other cringe things you did while high, things you did while drunk, things you did around a girl, things you did in class. Plenty of stuff that's cringe.
I think one of the things is that a lot of the memories that used to get me, like, you know, you'd think back on them and cringe, I think I've kind of, like, chosen to forget. I've really just subdued those by not thinking about them enough. I don't think I remember any big ones from high school, and I know I was cringy.
I think I have some. I think we could probably do more fashion or something. Hold on. I know one time for a girl I had a crush on for Christmas, we decided to exchange gifts. And I did the thing where, like, cheap gifts on a budget or whatever is, like, maybe those from a TV show, make them a bunch of coupons or whatever of, like, one free me doing something for you or something like that. And it was clearly all just, like, I want to spend time with you. Spend time with me.
That is
one
funny.
Free hug. Please touch my body.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That rocks. If you ever write for a sitcom, I feel like that's one of those, like, life experiences you put in.
Yeah. If you were writing for Big Mouth, Paul, what would you even contribute? You got nothing on this. I did once as a part of chorus because that's what my elective was musically for all of most of middle school, high school. I had to perform because that year the musical we learned was High School Musical. So I had to do We're All in This Together with a group of like 12 other people in front of an audience of like the incoming sixth grade class when I was in seventh grade. So yeah, I just had to go up and sing and do the corniest dance in front of other incoming kids that were only a year below me. And I remember hating every second of it. And I also remember hating, this is what really proved that I wasn't a musical theater kid, is we would practice in the lunch auditorium like stage for another musical that we did in high school. And again, I was like, it was Peter Pan. And yeah, just every time someone walked by and watched us do it, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I want to kill myself.
I don't know if this is, this might be where we have to separate cringe from awkward, but this is a story that kind of makes me cringe when I think about it, which was when I was dating a girl, when I started dating
cringe, bro. Are you kidding me?
When I started dating a woman in college.
You gay?
And she'd previously dated, like 8 months before, she dated a friend of mine. And everybody was like, you got to tell him. He's still in love with her. He's going to be pissed when he finds out. You have to be the one to tell him. Rip the Band-Aid off. So I sent him a text that was like, hey, I don't know if you've heard through the grapevine, but just in case you haven't, I'm dating blank person. Just thought you should know. And he replied back with, new phone, who's this? Not in the meme-y way, in like the writing a slightly longer message of like, hey, I don't know who this is, but I got a new phone.
Okay, yeah.
Good luck. And then he said like something snarky and mean, but like good luck with that or whatever. Something to like that effect, like a kind of snarky.
You know, I've had that. I have a weird thing about being weird about phone numbers too. And like if people change their number, me always being afraid to text the wrong number.
Mm-hmm.
I've even texted my own wrong number, my old number, myself before, which has been like,
that's
yeah,
a great cringe story. When I called you on your old number and somebody picked up and was like, who's this? And I was like, what's up? Because I thought it was you doing a funny voice. I'm like, you son of a bitch, Adrian. What's going on, buddy?
No, we have tormented that woman for multiple years. I think multiple people, including my advisor, who didn't realize I had changed numbers. Yeah, at one point I was trying to, so I do a thing where like, what is it? Because I have a Mac phone or an Apple phone and a Mac, you can like send things to yourself so that you can send them from your computer instead of your phone, or send things from your computer to your phone that way you can then send them out on your phone. And so I sent a bunch of like graphs from my like dissertation onto my phone, but I sent it to that number and she was just like, okay, looks good. And I was like, sorry,
poor
that wasn't
lady,
for
why
you.
Why does she feel the need to react to these people who are trying to contact you?
I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, that's the old number.
She told you looks good. I like how nice she is. Even to yeah. me when I accidentally called her, she was so sweet. After I did what's this up, she still explained to me like, oh no, you have the wrong number.
This is like that old thing. Do you think she has, she understands that it's just one person, that it's me who's doing this to her, that it's just people affiliated with me. Shit, what was I gonna say? It was, oh, did you ever get into that thing? This is like early middle school where people would do like, I'm gonna text the number below me and above me because they're my like phone number neighbors.
Below me and above me and what?
So if your number is like 8675349, you text 8675348. Oh, you would sometimes, people would post those online for like wholesome memes of being like, oh, hey, phone neighbor, let's be friends. Let's start chatting or whatever. And then, you know, they'd be like, yeah, humans are good or whatever. It's like the chances that the person who got my phone after me just happens to be such a nice person is so weird to me. Like, I just wouldn't respond.
The phone number neighbor thing, I'm not going to lie to you. That might be the most like
good cringe. 2008
cringe.
Yeah.
Sort of media available. Oh, I don't know why I was embarrassed by this. One time when I was in middle school, I thought it would be cool to this is another one that's just like, it's self-embarrassment, but I don't know if it's cringy. It's I decided to get these Nike shoes. They had like a thing online where you could add anything you wanted to them to customize them. So I got the word Paul written on them on the side. And then I wore them to school, and I forgot who it was. Somebody was like, is that your name on your shoe? And I was like, yeah. And then I refused to admit that I got them custom. I was like, yeah, they just make these. That's
a Paul. You know, there's like Coke cans or whatever where they just have names on them?
Yeah. I was like, that's how these are.
Shit.
I don't know why. As soon as somebody actually pointed it out, I was immediately like, it's humiliating to actually order some custom from Nike.
I remember one time. This is actually, this is, you know, I very rarely talk about anyone really bullying me in middle school, but you know, according to the definition that we got, if they harass you more than once, that's bullying, according to the literature current as of 2007.
The theory, really, on bullying.
Read theory. I mean, that's what it was, right? That was literally like the academics of people doing that, deciding, but I remember, and then even sending it down 10 years later.
Me. It was like, well, at that point, you've died. Like, even as a child, I was like, it feels so diluted. Like, it really is ruining it for the people who are actually being bullied, that everybody is being bullied.
Even the middle school children in our dumb, slack-jawed middle school were like, wait, that means I get to make fun of everybody at least once. And then I just can't do it another time. So everybody gets one. But Matthew Steinbacher, I remember once he made fun of me doing the, like, high tide coming around, or what is that thing that you say whenever someone has, like, pants that are cut too low? High waters is what they're called. Yeah. Something like that. I remember getting roasted by him for that. And then I remember another time, I had just finished the main story to Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. It's an incredible story where you end up killing God. And I think there's some really cool and powerful quotes in it as a seventh grader. And I decide to write some of the quotes on my binder. Next day, I go into school and he starts pointing at them, being like, what's that? Let me read that or whatever. And immediately I'm just like arms over my binder being like, no, shut up. I don't want you to read this. This is for me.
These are my quotes I wrote for me.
Yeah. These are powerful to me. You don't understand. You haven't played all the levels yet. There's levels to this.
The joke about JRPGs always ending with having to kill God with the power of friendship is so funny how true that ends up being.
Well, in this one, you kill God with the sword, but and the power of a dark god, of a quote-unquote dark god. Their whole thing is like, which one's light, which one's dark? Is order and chaos, are they really bad and good, or are they just two sides of the same coin? And middle school Adrian was like, damn, bro. Anyways, I think I probably have plenty of stories, but this half is going long. Do you want to get into articles?
Let's do it.
Okie dokes. I'll go first. Okay. So this is Ask E. Jean, my boyfriend's new tattoo. Is this a fair deal breaker? We were supposed to make the decision together and he went in and did it on his own. This is kind of a short one. Maybe would have been just as good for our tattoo episode, but at this point, I was just mainly trying to diversify the articles that we take from, so it was a pretty open category, and this is the one I went for. Dear E. Jean, after my boyfriend's dog passed away, he decided to get a tattoo in its memory. I personally don't see the value in tattoos, but I was open to discussing with him some art and placement options that would make us both happy. However, he went on to the tattoo parlor and called me with the quote-unquote final idea. I hated it. I begged him beyond the limits of pride not to do it, but he got it anyway. It's been a week now, and I can't even look at the tattoo on the top of his shoulder, making intimacy a struggle. He won't consider removing it. Instead, he's offering to pay for couples therapy to help me, quote-unquote, get over it. I'm having trouble with what this means for other decisions we'll make in the future. Oh, and the tattoo is of a carrot. From feeling he doesn't care at all. Is it weird that someone writing into E. Jean didn't follow the old my body, my choice rules?
That seems a little flippant about the sexual assault E. Jean went through.
Just saying. Sometimes you talk about how you have to pick your right advice columnist. I think there's a better advice columnist to send this to.
Actually, that's true. In a non-jokey way, that is kind of true.
Mm-hmm. You can stack the deck in your favor, and I don't think this is a good one.
I need to know more about how serious this relationship was. I feel like if it's been less than a year, you definitely have no say over this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're engaged, yeah, he should have listened to you if you thought it was a bad look.
Oh, really? Interesting. I don't know if I agree with that. I was going to say my thing that we can get from this reading is that my boyfriend's dog. And I think 9 times out of 10, that means he's had the dog longer than you have been together. So I think we at least have that as a timestamp. Because it's not our dog. It's my boyfriend's dog. And so that's why I imagine, however long they've been together, he's had the dog longer than she's been around. And that's not necessarily their decision to make together, how he decides to honor the dog.
Well, the tattoo is new. She didn't say he couldn't honor the dog, but mm-hmm. she just wanted to say about how the tattoo looked on his body. And if they were thinking of spending their life together, I think there is a reason that you would take that other person's opinion into consideration.
I don't know how I feel about this one.
All right, compromise. How can these people come together without her having to just go to therapy to get over it?
We don't have to do a cover-up. If it's a carrot, you can just make it into a snowman.
Yeah. She really should have been more specific. Does she not like the design? Does she think it's too big?
She doesn't like the placement or the design or the artistry. It's just a carrot.
It should really have to be the law that these people have to send in pictures.
How does that honor a dog? Do dogs like carrots? Dog's name was Kakarot?
Kakarot.
So is your line's engagement? Once you get engaged, then a tattoo is no longer yours, it's yours and your partner's? Or your polycules?
No, because that's way too strict of a line. I think just once you think you're that type of serious, which I think, right, Adrian, you'd never want to be in a fully lifelong committed monogamous relationship, right? Is your thing?
I just don't want to get married. I could do a lifetime partner. That's fine.
Okay, I think that's about once you feel like both your expectations are that you're going to be together for life. That's about the time where it would be respectful to ask, to take their opinion into consideration and talk it through with them.
Mm-hmm. But what if you read a lot of advice columns and you know that getting therapy for people always kind of fixes things?
It is funny. What a rude thing to say to somebody. Like, the assumption, we're going to go to couple therapy so you could get over it. That is an asinine thing to say.
You should go to therapy with a goal in mind and get the tools that you need to complete that goal.
We should go to couple therapy so the couple therapist can tell you you're a piece of shit. God, nothing sounds worse in this world than couple therapy for, like, a failing marriage. Can you imagine? It's just two people trying to get a third person in the room on their side.
It's a great horror movie. We can't bring it in, but yeah, that was one of the reasons ended his relationship, as he was like, nope, not doing couples therapy ever again. You cannot drag me there.
I didn't know they'd done it. Yeah, it sounds horrible. It's just one person trying. It's two people, and they're both trying to convince somebody else to favor them and dislike the other person.
Well, in example, someone who knows therapy lingo and, like, is well versed in therapy.
Oh god,
she's a literal therapist.
Really playing, she was playing the therapist like a damn fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, can we bleep out names and leave that in, or it's gotta go?
I think that might have to go. We'll see. Do you think that he's embarrassed of his body and he did this just so that she'd ask him to wear a shirt every time they fucked? Because that is a solution. Cover up that shoulder. Also, making intimacy a struggle, just let him hit it from the back with a knee brace on. Exactly.
I think the problem with that theory is nobody with body image issues gets a tattoo. You gotta be real happy with yourself to get a tattoo, you know what I'm saying?
I think that's your thing. I think we learned that from the bad tattoos episode. You could have any kind of physique and still want a tattoo.
Yeah, but you're a little bit of a narcissist if you get a tattoo.
That's such a weird opinion. Your body ain't art, so you can't get art on it. Hey, maybe instead of getting a carrot on you, you should try and eat some more carrots. You know what I mean? Come on, they dab you up.
She should get a tattoo that offends him, so then they're even.
Mm.
Ooh, what's his name? If his name is, like, Mike, get a tattoo that says, like, I love Harry or something.
That seems purposefully hurtful, as opposed to just, like, this is what I want to do to, like, honor my dead dog. And you have to assume these are white people, so this means a lot to them. So, I'm taking his perspective, but to answer her question, you don't get to control other people's decisions like that. I don't know. I get that you want input. He called you with the final idea.
And then she said, I would think that's unattractive. You know what? I think you're right, but I think it also leaves her in a position where she's right for thinking that this is a relationship she doesn't want to be in.
Sure. Yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying don't break up with him. I think that's fine.
I do think that it recontextualizes how attracted she is to him and how much of a partnership they are. If she wants to be in a partnership where they would take that into account, I think that's totally fair. where they would take her opinion into a little bit more leeway. And it also sounds like he was pretty flippant about trying to find a compromise. He didn't really at all. And maybe even if this was the eventual tattoo he was going to get, maybe it would have gone down a little bit smoother if it felt like he didn't want to upset her, or he wasn't just getting it with a, well, whatever, you're going to be upset anyway sort of attitude, and just got it.
I mean, he really did like the classic husband, like, you know, ask for forgiveness, not for permission. You know, he got the Cadillac for his midlife crisis, and then, is that what you get? A Cadillac?
And then was just like, Kate's dad got a motorcycle.
Oh, death machine. Don't get one of those.
Apparently he was never allowed to ride it.
He just got to pose with it.
Her family seems really
It was rich. A Nathan for funny. You discounted motorcycles if you just pose with it and don't put any miles on it. Did you ever had anything like this in a relationship?
Oh, I had an ex who wanted to get the Skrillex cut. And I was like, please don't. I don't think I would find that attractive.
Oh, I think that'd be cute.
And okay, she was like, I probably will anyway. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can't really stop you, like, if you want to get that cut.
But they didn't, right?
We broke up soon after that. Unrelated, but...
Oh, so then she got to do, like, a strong woman, like, my boy didn't want me to do this, and now I'm out on the town with my Skrillex cut.
Hey, I never tried to stop anybody from doing anything they wanted.
The patriarchy was trying to keep me down, and now I'm ready to...
I put my opinion out there, you know, into the atmosphere.
I think that's all you should be required to do.
But, yeah, I do think it's, like, the thing you started with about policing people's bodies. As a man, this is my internal sexism, because I do feel like she gets a say if they're going to be together forever over this tattoo or not. If it was flipped, I might be like, what a controlling piece of shit.
I could do bad all by myself. Break up with him, honey.
Yeah, like, I did, because I remember that exact conversation with my ex where I was like, well, I'm not going to tell a woman what to do. What am I, some sort of misogynist? You can get it if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I never had anything as permanent as this, but I do remember in high school, my ex was, to the last minute, begging me not to take acid with Hunter and Fergus. She was like, you don't know what it's going to do to you. I'm scared for you. I don't know if you're going to be okay. I won't be there to help you or anything. And I was like, yeah, it sounds fun. I'm going to do it. And that was basically what I said to her.
You were like, don't worry. Hunter can just call Paul at 1 p.m. or 1 a.m., even though he wasn't invited, and get him to come over here for the bad trip.
Oh, this was a different thing.
I also was invited that other time, but I just didn't want to trip with Stanley.
Yeah, no, right? No, this was just me, Hunter, and Fergus. That was a fun night.
But I did want to recontextualize it as I wasn't even invited.
All right. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Misfeeling. Misfeeling like he doesn't care at all. I love you, you charming halfwit, but every single little thing about your letter annoys Auntie E. Your boyfriend, poor chap, loses the only being on earth who could have loved him if he'd come home with a head of bib lettuce tattooed on his face, and you are unhappy because he didn't heed your placement options. By God, the dog was more loyal to your boyfriend than you are. Stop wagging your tongue about art and placement and let the man mourn. His friend is dead. As for the tattoo, honey, that ink has dried. Cease bewailing vegetables beyond your control. Ask him either to ink his other shoulder in tribute to you, I suggest a cabbage, or wear a t-shirt in bed. Hey, Adrian's advice. The carrot irks you because it reminds you that he loved a creature almost as much as he loves you, and that you picked the wrong fight. You can't tell a chap what or what not to put on his own body, just as a chap who tries to tell you to lose 10 pounds should receive a swift kick in his symbolisms. So until you loosen up and let your imagination romp, until you learn to step into shoes of another person and view the world from his perspective, all the couples therapy in the world won't help you understand the suffering of your fellow man. That is a roller coaster of an answer.
Yeah, wow. They really came at me, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I was thinking more about the fact that, like, she also rejected the couples therapy, but, like, was way bigger on the, like, a dog is the greatest friend you'll ever have in this world. No one will be more loyal to you. It's like, what is this, John Wick? Is this John Wick after his dog dies?
Also, I like the part where I've never heard anybody else talk, like, yeah, that emotionally about their dog, except for the rapper Kevin Gates when he talks about his dogs. Here, I have the exact quote. Bitch, I don't know where your mouth been. She asking me why I kiss my dogs in the morning. Ain't no dick been in my dog's mouth. That's what I told her, and it got taken out of context. And when I'm not about to sleep in bed with you, with the dogs, well, that dog sleep in bed with me all the time. He sleep at the foot of my bed or on my chest, wherever he sleeps. That's my family member. You can say what you want about my dog, but he's loyal. My dog costs $90,000.
Wait, Kevin Gates is kissing male dogs in the mouth?
Yeah, he had a controversy because he said that he would, if you're loyal to me, you'll kiss my dog or something to a woman.
Gross. That's very at odds with the general consensus of the black community. I like that. He's a real iconoclast. Is that why him and his cousin broke up?
Shut up, man. Leave Kevin Gates alone.
Leave Kevin alone. All right. You want to get to your half?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
All right, Adrian, I brought in a new advice column that we haven't had before from getthegloss.com, written by Hattie Sloggett. This one is called The Shame Changer. I have recently met an amazing guy online, and we've only met to go for socially distanced walks. When we do, we chat the whole time.
Whoa, you're not going to read the warning before this?
It's before every one of these articles. This one doesn't have a product, so it's not...
Okay, so they don't mention Chex Mix out of nowhere in this one?
Any products in this article have been selected editorially. However, if you buy something we mention, we may earn commission.
How does that work? You just read an article.
The link, probably. It's a link out.
So Chex Mix, that's what Chex Mix is linked into this article.
Okay, she's met this guy. They've gone on socially distanced walks to catch everybody up. When we do, we chat the whole time, share pictures of our families, talk about where we want to go on holidays. Last week, I was showing him a picture of my dog on my phone, and when he swiped, it went to a Google search I had done of him earlier that day. It was mortifying. He laughed at the time, but now he's gone really quiet, ignoring my requests to meet. Have I done a bad thing?
Oh, did we properly explain why mine was cringe and why this one was cringe? I mean, it was just like, I guess she cringed at the tattoo. It makes sense. Don't worry about it too much.
Did you go looking for bad tattoo columns?
No, this is a bookmarked one. I was scrolling through my bookmarked ones for this one and kind of trying to shoehorn it in. What about you?
This one is cringe because it's like kind of like you're cringing at yourself. Like, oh my God, how'd I let that happen?
It's a real Larry David.
I had something really similar happen on my first date with Izzy where it was the first date, so it wasn't that bad, but it was...
And she couldn't pronounce Euro.
She couldn't pronounce Euro, and I stood up in the middle of the restaurant and went, everybody, listen to this dumb bitch try to pronounce, and then I spelled G-Y-R-O Jesus. Because I didn't want to tip her off on how you pronounce it. When she was using my phone to look at an online menu from a QR code, another, like, Tinder message came through.
Ooh, damn. Yeah. And she was like, I want to adopt brown babies with you, Paul. Here's a thirst photo.
Ooh, that was a cringe memory. Wow, thank you for, go listen to the last episode where I explained that story. That was a real cringe one to remember getting yelled at by a Tinder date. Mm.
Okay, wait, do I have anything like that? Of handing someone your phone? I feel like that's so classic. It's like, don't swipe right or whatever.
I just imagine you have the funniest dude of you doing like that thing with your finger up to your lips and like your little booty behind you.
Hey, I wouldn't be embarrassed by that.
A Google search of somebody, I think it's something a lot of people do. I think it's super embarrassing to get caught having done it.
This feels like another women's safety thing where Paul's coming at it from a too male of a perspective. I wouldn't be too worried if a woman that I was going on a date with had Googled me. I'd be like, that makes sense.
I meant the other way. I think it's more embarrassing to be the Googler. I don't think I would care at all. It's like one of those
things. Oh, she's a Googler. That's why you broke up with her. She's a Googler.
I think it's one of those things where you judge it as more embarrassing when you get caught than when you catch somebody else. Because when you catch somebody else, you're like, oh yeah, we all do that. When you get caught, you're like, I'm a weirdo who's the only person who's ever done this.
I think I would not just laugh at it in the moment, though. I think I'd be like, oh, yeah, I assume it's like a safety thing. That makes sense to me. Like, it's not weird to me.
Imagine yourself, like a girl uses your phone and sees, like, she swipes over.
But that's what I'm saying is I don't have that perspective that I was the one Googling them. In that case, that is weird. That's like, what was I making myself safe from?
Oh, you don't Google people before a date? a few mattresses on social media? Oh, I did.
Nah.
For sure.
I mean, there was that one time where I didn't realize when she was like, okay, so we matched on Bumble, not Tinder. I remember this. I think it was like 2 years ago. And I was supposed to go pick her up. Oh, I didn't recognize. She said 1400 Penn. And I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, I think that's somewhere in town. Penn. And I was like, wait, this is the White House. And I was like, is this my date with the president's daughter? I should have Googled her before this. And I started singing this song, my date with the president is out. Oh, yeah. My date with her.
Oh, yeah. Just put Camp David in your GPS. That's funny. You don't Google.
No, yeah. What do you usually get? Like a LinkedIn? Because LinkedIn, you told me that, right? Is that if you both have a LinkedIn, it tells you that you looked at their page, right?
Yeah, that's why you
Which is like everyone's worst nightmare is people like will look up, if I look up somebody on Facebook, does it alert them or whatever? It's like, when have you gotten an alert that someone looked you up on Facebook?
You never find a Facebook for, I don't think Facebook does like SEO like that, but you'll find Instagrams and LinkedIns.
Oh, damn, that's gross. I don't like that.
I think it's super normal. I think a lot of people do it, man.
How many people are looking you up?
I don't know. I assume everybody. I don't have an online presence, so they can't find shit.
That's true.
Yeah, and I wasn't doing it for safety reasons. I guess it was just kind of like, they are who they say they are. These are accurate, up-to-date photos. Nice.
You don't ask for references? Also, I'll go ahead and say, someone in academia, people will have the main photo for everything that they do in academics be the photo from when they were 22 years old and be a 75-year-old professor and just be like, yep, that's my Google Scholar photo back when I was a young whippersnapper. Yeah, like, no, that doesn't read to me as any more accurate. I guess Instagram or something that's like more updated, but like.
Also, you just like see their personality a little bit more. You either get a little bit like, oh, this might not. I guess that you do also either disappoint yourself and you're like, oh, this might not work out. They kind of have lame posts, or you're like, oh, okay, they're kind of cool and funny. And then you get a little bit more hype.
Right. Because you recently matched with Amy Schumer, right?
Let me tell you, I was so hype right up until she started, for whatever reason, saying some pretty nasty things about Arabs.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Sound off in the comments, leave a 5-star review. How often men look up their partners or mask identifying people look up their partners before a date, or not their partner, but their date?
It's not always possible, right? It's like if they sent you their first and last name in text, if they were like, oh, here's my name.
You know, I think so. I shouldn't release this information. I'm pretty sure if you look up Adrian UC Davis, I probably come up like number one on the list.
A little cocky.
And if you look up Paul, check it out.
I was joking. Do it on your phone. You didn't need to prove me wrong there.
No, I think there's one soccer prospect who might come up before me. Whereas if you look up Paul X Hamster,
which is where I work
and play a little bit of both,
of the X Hamster tech admin.
All right, yeah, let's read this answer.
Oh yeah, we didn't really give her advice.
I'm surprised this is a long answer. Like, what is there really to say about it? Like, say, hey, did you think
this columnist just gives long answers to everyone?
Okay. Oh, she's paid by the word. Well, if it's paid by the word, summa luma duma yuma summa nama superhuman innovative in
it. You said one word that whole time. It was innovative.
What a Western view of what words are. Last week I was showing a picture of my dog on my phone. No, I'm sorry, but how does a picture of a dog swipe to a Google search? Those are two different apps.
Oh, maybe she was showing.
Did you screenshot it?
Oh, maybe to send to a friend.
Yeah, if I end up dead today, you know where to go. Yeah, if you want to do the. Did you have any real advice? I think you were probably just bad during the date. I don't think this is that weird of a thing.
Ghosting is pretty common. She probably did something so much more nasty or off-putting during this
way
date.
Cringier.
Is it concentrating on completely the wrong thing?
What's the cringiest thing you could do during a date? She takes a selfie every place that you go to so she can tag herself.
All right, answer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, darling, I get it. There's nothing worse than having your feet swept out from under you, especially in front of the person that is making your heart flutter. Once on a first date, my best friend mentioned the guy's famous aunt by name, something he hadn't told her, only to be met with a look of shock and suspicion. giving away that we had spent hours prowling his Facebook. But in this
That's funny. Did I tell you that Dora Lee went to a rave or something for Halloween and she met a woman who had dated Lana Del Rey's brother? Like, apparently they just met on Tinder.
That sounds like a lie most people could get away with telling. I think she just met a liar.
You think that's a hometown thing where, like, everyone from Charleston's like, yeah, I met Bill Murray.
Oh, that same girl I mentioned, same woman I mentioned earlier in the podcast whose ex-boyfriend I had to text. She was called a bitch by Bill Murray's son in middle school.
Nice.
Yeah.
Probably deserved.
No, it didn't really seem like it.
But everyone from Charleston is just like, yeah, Bill Murray fucked me in my ass and then left me the next morning.
Also, they spent hours prowling his Facebook. That wasn't a safety concern. That was 100% them being a little snoopy because it's fun. So I think a point on the board for Paul for people to get a little snoopy.
I mean, safety also takes time.
But in this day and age, who doesn't Google a prospective date, especially if you met online? Well, I guess Adrian, fuck me and my big old ass. If you wouldn't
whoa, you can't just steal my catchphrase like that.
You wouldn't know if he was a convicted felon or the son of a preacher man or both. Remember that what you were doing is normal and even advisable. UK dating industry body, the Online Dating Association, advocates exactly that. Check their LinkedIn or run a Google image search to check any photos provided. There is nothing wrong with prioritizing your own safety with a little digging, which can also tell you whether you are wasting your time on someone whose Facebook is full of Dungeons and Dragons. Public information is not stupid. You'd Google a company you were going to work for, right? You haven't told me what your search uncovered, if anything. I suspect not much, otherwise you wouldn't still fancy him. Although an online search is never a full picture. The fact that he had disappeared into the unknown could be a sign that there were things to be found. Yes, it's weird to find things, but the real red flag comes when you can't find anything at all, don't you think? Oh, shit. Well,
that seems like dangerous thinking.
That would make me a red flag. I purposefully don't have an online presence. I guess other than the
pod. That's a red flag. That makes sense, yeah. And there's been plenty on this pod that I think most people would consider deal breakers.
My assumption is not the act, but the getting caught that has left you feeling embarrassed. I'm guessing that your search didn't say John Smith dick pics, but there's something else in the search bar that you're not telling me. His name plus ex-girlfriend's addiction police report. Did you push the Google boundaries too far? Who would try that?
I don't think that's
that?
True. Yeah, I don't think, yeah.
What person in the world would ex-girlfriends work for other than a celebrity?
A celebrity, yeah. Celebrityrelationships.com or something like that.
Whoever it was, it likely made him feel uncomfortable, but why? Everything about a person online is there because they put it there, either by their action or choices. Also not true. She just mentioned the police report saying.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, they had a particularly bitter ex-partner, friend, colleague, or dog. I couldn't care less if I found out someone had Googled me. It shows that they have done their groundwork, and I have no shame, and I have no shame about what you'll find out there. I have to put this out there too. Have you considered that he's backing off could be completely unrelated? Maybe he's just not that into you. Now to the nitty-gritty.
That's what I was saying.
You have options. It just depends on how comfortable you feel with them. Here's my suggestion.
Okay, hey, look at some concrete suggestions.
Baby steps. Text him now. Tell him you're sensing some changes in his behavior and if everything's all right. Oh yeah, dudes love this. Definitely do this one. If you were talking as often as you say, then this shouldn't feel awkward. You're just checking in because you haven't heard from him in a while. If he replies, then you take it from there. And if he doesn't, well, no response is a response too. This is a toughie because we all like closure. But as long as you can confidently say that you have been the bigger woman and take all the mature steps to find out the truth, then you must choose to be at peace with that. And frankly, it's his loss. Head on, pick up the phone. Look, it hasn't been going on that long, so you have nothing to lose. If he doesn't pick up, he could be call screening. Send a voice note telling him that you kindly asked for some clarity on the situation. Was it seeing the Google search that caused it? Keep it relaxed. Don't go into apologies. Remember, this is nothing to apologize for, other than making him feel a little awkward. If he's a solid guy, he should be able to see the situation for what it is, not some secret mission to uncloak him. And if it has nothing to do with Googlegate, then give him the safe space to tell you what is really going on. If he doesn't volunteer it, ask him what the silence is really about. Full nuclear. Hire a brass band. hire a band, buy tons of flowers, and stand outside his window singing to him. I actually had a friend who did this. He took a full brass band to the window of his wife's office in a bid to win her back after some ridiculous argument. It worked, but only for a time, and they actually ended their marriage in a very bitter and convoluted divorce after many arguments and dramatic apologies. Oh, does that sound overdramatic? Well, just maybe you are being overdramatic. This is a guy you've known all of 5 minutes in the grand scheme of things. And what, with everything going on in the world, I'm sure it felt lovely to have someone to share the apocalypse with, but let's be real. He might have some major life drama unrelated to you going on, or he may just be a total flake. You are a strong, independent woman who needs to embrace her own worth. If some man-child decides to ghost you, then you need not waste another second on him. Thank you. Next. Wow, remember when that was a thing? Ariana Grande?
I mean, this is 2 years old. Thank you. Next.
Now, of course, the choice is yours, and I'm only here to give you options. But take a little advice from someone with a bad boyfriend list as long as my arm. If it seems all too much like hard work, it usually is. You must be confident in what you deserve and accept no less, even if it hurts a little bit. It's easier for your heart to heal now than further down the line.
Damn.
I think the first two pieces of advice were insane. The text him asking him why you're sensing a change in his behavior and if everything's all right, or call him. The third one was clearly a joke.
You're a big caller.
Yeah, but not with somebody I've been on one date with and then didn't respond to me. That's insane. That's like stalking level behavior. That's way too much.
Okay, I feel you. Or if they hit you up and they're like, I know you're uncomfortable, but like, I'm just a big phone talker, you know? I like the brass band. Get a New Orleans vibe going on.
It's kind of dark how it ended.
Could be good, could be shit.
She was like, and then every member of that brass band actually, sadly...
They used their instruments to kill themselves. That was a fun call. I like that one.
I liked how much effort the question answerer put into it. I think she was a little bit odd. She seems like a quirked up white lady.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get that sense, too? Like, there were just some parts of her advice where I was like, is that how things are?
No, it felt like a Rachel Bloom thing. Crazy ex-girlfriend type thing. Not that I would ever call a woman crazy.
A little bit unhinged in a good way.
It seems like someone who knows their limits. So like they would try something like that, and when they realize you're not into it, they'd back off. But eventually they will find their man who's into that, and then everything's hunky-dory until you start arguing.
All right, Adrian, you want to get into the third segment?
Let's get balls deep into this one, bruh.
And I decided to title it, so you want me to go ahead and read out the title to the audience?
Mm-hmm.
The title for this segment is, Don't Kill the Part of You That Is Cringy, Kill the Part That Cringes. Subtitle, A Gentleman's Defense of His Lamest Pleasures. Subtitle, This Isn't My Guilty Pleasure, You're Just Guilty of Not Liking It.
Damn, okay. I got a little bit of Lil Joel in there. I got a little bit of a Gentleman's Guide to Something. I don't know. This all sounds good. Let's do it. What you got for me?
Okay. My first piece of cringy media that I would like to defend.
Oh, are we going
to
explain it?
Yeah, we're bringing in cringy media that we personally like. Things that get dunked on online.
Clowned on. And I will say this. Like I said, I think cringe kind of like lost a lot of meaning over the years. To the point where Phil and I was having Phil help me brainstorm ideas, and the number of things where he was like, well, you should bring in like NPR. Like, NPR is cringe, right? And I was like, to like a weird subset of like leftists, but like not in general. Like, what do you, he's like, okay. He was like, what about like Nintendo Switches? And I was like,
no, Switches are definitely kind of cringe.
Really?
I like my Switch, but I feel like you do look like a little baby pulling that out in public. An adult playing the Switch in public.
Okay, yeah, maybe we just have different, like, things, because, like, I mean, I'll go ahead and spoil, or I won't spoil one of mine, but one of mine, I was like, this thing, and he was like, I've never heard anyone make fun of that, and I was like, do you live under a rock? Like, how do we live in such different worlds?
Was it Big Bang Theory? Was it Nickelback?
Yeah, exactly, I love those two things. But yeah, I don't know, I was surprised by how much disparate, perspective there was on what's cringe or not. So but yeah, Paul, feel free to bring in your first thing.
Oh, and by the way, these aren't things that are like cringy, like The Office, where it's supposed to elicit a cringe on purpose. These are things that society has deemed cringy to enjoy or be a fan of.
Yeah, it's more on you than it is on the media.
So my first one, I think no surprise to you, Adrian, this is one of Paul's cringe faves, Doctor Who. So my defense of Doctor Who.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. Can I give my take on the cringiness of it?
Yeah.
I feel like it was cringe 8 years ago. I don't know who cares about liking Doctor Who anymore.
Yeah, but if we were going to, everything goes in and out of style. I feel like my list, like it'd be impossible to find something that's been cringe forever. At some point, people like
Immemorial. Immemorial? What is it? Yeah. Okay.
The episodic sci-fi concept rocks for the same reason a lot of shows are good, in the same way Futurama, Star Trek, Stargate, Rick and Morty, The X-Files.
Ricky Morty, cringe, bro.
I think episodic sci-fi really works because sci-fi has a lot of fun concepts, and being able to do a concept and episode, like a time travel episode, and then you do like a spooky planet horror episode, and then you do a...
Oh, can I ask for a clarification?
Yeah.
I feel bad about this. What is Doctor Who about?
There's a guy, he's like an immortal alien.
Or a gal.
Or a gal now. And he always has companions, and he uses his like time-traveling spaceship to go from planet to planet and time to time on Earth.
Oh, but it's all on Earth. Okay.
So, no, sometimes it's on other planets because it's also a spaceship.
Okay.
It's a time-traveling spaceship.
I see. Time and space, which are basically the same thing.
Which are famously basically the same thing. At least the reboot kind of does like a different concept every episode. Like I said, one will be like a werewolf episode in Victorian England. One will be like, oh, we're on the moon mining. And
so wait, it's just improv for nerds? Yeah. Even nerdier nerds? give me a location and someone give me a sci-fi concept.
literally be like the movie Gravity. That'll be like an episode. It's like, what if we were in space and something went wrong? Sometimes it'll be in the far future.
Is there an episode about like, what if God was one of us?
Not yet. But they're running out of ideas.
That's common.
And yeah, I think that's a great concept for a show. I think that really works for sci-fi shows. I think it's aware of its campiness, at least in the early reboot seasons, and plays into it. I think the set design is always incredibly visually interesting and creative and colorful. Mm-hmm. There's episodes, like, you know, like I said, like every episode is a different theme. So there's like episodes where it's like a whole, you know, world living on a ship. Or there's like intergalactic slums, or ancient Rome, but mermaids are attacking, or mining colonies on a moon base. It's always like some weird, creative, over-the-top shit that's fun to watch. A lot of them take different tones from like horror to comedy. And I do want to add that I think this is all only valid for the pre-Stephen Moffat seasons. Moffat? How do you pronounce his names?
Wouldn't know, brother.
Once he got in, he really concentrated on the overwrought serialized storyline, so he lost some of the fun episodic parts, and he really wanted to do these big, long story arcs.
So that was the showrunner?
Yeah, he became showrunner. The CGI got worse, and the set design got less fun and more glossy and kind of like that Marvel-y CGI look. It's kind of lost its campy charm. And while it always had like this kind of epic, sentimental bend to story arc closures, his seasons turns a notch up to 12. And became much more cloying and much less self-aware about how to deliver the message and move on.
All right, Q&A?
Yes.
You wrote a lot more than I did for this one, brother. I'm not going to lie. What's the current perception of the show?
I think, like you said, most people don't really think about it. People remember the seasons I was talking about with Eccleston. Actually, Eccleston's very forgotten, but Tennant and... Stephen Smith, which Smith is the start of Moffat as a showrunner, so where the show becomes bad for me.
I see. Next question. Would you still wear your Doctor Who shirt out and about?
I don't have it, but yeah, of course. I love that shirt.
Okay. What happened to it?
Got too small. Yeah.
I see. Talk about time travel. three. What else do I have to say about it? On a scale of Star Wars to Battlestar Galactica, where do you generally think that Doctor Who perceptually falls?
I'm not sure, but Battlestar Galactica is my next one.
Oh, okay. You're doing all sci-fi. Okay.
I'm going all sci-fi, baby.
Okay, I'll do mine first real quick then. This is the one that I was saying where I was like, Phil was just like, I've only ever met people who are incredibly hospitable to liking this thing. Whereas I've always mentioned, and I'm not gonna bring anything too specific. I can if you want to. I mean, I guess maybe my favorite one is Gundam 00, but anime. Liking anime and liking Gundam 00 and liking, like, I guess also kind of a sci-fi robot thing where I think I've said it before. People will hear me say, oh, yeah, I like this new anime that's running. And they'll be like, huh, didn't peg you for one of those people.
Yeah.
For one of those guys.
I sort of get where both of you are coming from.
I think the thing for me is that there's, I think Steve M has made this point. There's no defense of anime. It's. That's like defending all of American animation. Like, what, like I'm defending Family Guy and, like, I don't know, a Pixar and Disney and, like,
right,
Adult
Swim
comedies.
Right, but that's not
usually
what people are saying. When somebody says something is cringe, they're talking about a fan base. I don't think it's about whether or not every anime is good or bad.
I think that's what I'm getting at with the whole thing about, like, you don't seem like one of those people where you're not always wearing a Naruto shirt and people aren't always begging you to put deodorant on and you're never just not, like, ever going to social occasions because you'd rather be with your body pillow. And so I guess if that's what I'm defending against, then I would say, like, yeah, it's very easy to be a well-adjusted person and also still like the stories and narratives and visuals of an anime.
I like anime too. I get where Phil is coming from because I think, like you said about Doctor Who, I think you are about a decade late on the like height of anime as cringe, which is like the body pillow thing. Like nobody talks about body pillows anymore. That is such a like dated reference. Mm-hmm. So I can see why Phil, when you were like, oh, people would think I wear body, I have a body pillow
well,
because
Phil,
I like
Phil
anime.
Phil did live through that decade though. I don't know.
Why he'd be like, I don't
it's
know.
It's not like I was talking
like
to
anime.
Like a current like Gen Zer and they were like, everyone I know loves it.
Yeah, but Phil has
there
the
were definitely
heart.
No
Phil has the heart of a Gen Zer.
What I thought was funny is when I was talking to him about the anime thing, I was like, well, Phil, you just don't have no hate in your heart. That's the thing that was like, that's why you don't understand these things. Oh, also, if you want a complimentary companion piece to what I've said, there is an episode of the Deprogram where one of the hosts specifically asks at FD Signifier, can you defend liking anime? And he basically answers it for 20 minutes. So if you want a more thorough answer, you can get one from a old school black guy who studies Marxist literature and like gender studies.
Which FD Signifier is kind of cringe in energy.
Yeah. Well, I think he understands that he's old. It's the same thing I was saying is like, there's no fighting it. Like old people are always going to think I'm cringe. Yeah.
He does sometimes just say things where I'm like, okay, old man. And then I skate away in my inline skates.
Yeah. Oh, I finally saw what a front shove it was during the gym videos that I was talking about.
Yeah, and?
I forgot to mention that. That was one of the big things. It was most front shove it's in a minute period. And I was like, oh, that's what a front shove it is. Those are kind of cool. Those are kind of fly. Marshall should learn how to do one of those.
So, Adrian, you foreshadowed it. I'm bringing in Battlestar Galactica. And I think of all the ones I brought in, this one would be the most unknown if it wasn't for a single joke from The Office, which really put this on the map as something cringy.
Oh, Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. Yeah.
I think otherwise most people would be like, what's that? But I think because of that line, people are like, ah, that's a thing Dwight's like, nerds.
Yeah. Okay, what's your comment on it?
Admiral Adama, he's the fucking man. I think the politics in it are interesting and unique. While it sometimes veers into cliche allegories.
More interesting than the politics in Star Wars?
Much more interesting.
Okay, well, JP's going to have to talk about that in his episode.
While it sometimes veers into cliche allegories, like the episode about the difference between a freedom fighter and terrorist, there's plenty of unique but still relevant episodes that take pretty interesting hypotheticals to cool conclusions. It follows a lot of the same questions about power Game of Thrones asks, like who wields power? By what right do people wield power? It pits bureaucrats, the military, old religions, new cults, prison uprisings, labor unions, and coddled elites in a struggle, and does a good job of never showing or declaring any as victor, but as different interests vying for more control. Episodes like Pegasus, when they find that there's one other surviving Battlestar class ship in the universe, are so tense and nail biting. Similarly, the episode 33, the first episode after the miniseries ends, 33 is the title of it, it's episode 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the Gaelic pipe music that they play for Adama's emotional scenes rocks.
Okay. Battlestar Galactica. Did they go through noticeable eras like the other ones of Star Wars and Doctor Who of different production values and stuff like that? Or
no, it was basically all the same level of production. Because this was a reboot of like a 80s show.
Gotcha, gotcha. And what are their fans known as being like?
Dwight, I guess? It's like a really long show. It's like space politics.
Mm.
It's very tense, very nail-bitey. It's great. Seems one cool, of the best man. Shows I've ever yeah. watched. Incredible.
And so when are the labor unions involved?
So the basic plot of the show is in episode one, these sentient robots humanity has built come back and destroy all the planets. There's like 12 planets mm-hmm. that humanity has colonized. They're all destroyed. The only ship not destroyed is Battlestar Galactica, along with a fleet of ships that happen to be outside of the atmosphere at the time. So they all coalesce mm-hmm. and start doing faster than light jumps across the universe looking for a new planet to habitate. So the politics is between the ships. So there's like the big military ship that you kind of follow throughout the show. But then there's like another ship that's pretty important where the Secretary of Education, after everybody else died, had been, she took
Betsy DeVos?
Yeah, she took over as president. So she's like the main political antagonist or like force that pulls against Adama as the main military leader who basically takes like coup powers after the alien invasion.
And the military ship is pro-union?
No, there's another ship where they have to unionize because they were, I forget, they made some resource the entire fleet needed. And the issue was that, like, basically they were keeping them on that, that ship sucked to live on. And there was other ships that were sweet, like, luxury liners to live on. And they were just like, whatever ship you were on when the war started, you got to stay on that ship and do your job and get the resources made. So it's just like some people had better lives than others. So the people on that ship,
where one ship was just owning the other ships, was their contribution.
Yeah, that was basically the military ship. That was the ship you follow. Battlestar Galactica really took like
the fucking ritzy ass motherfuckers.
Full power. No, but there was the
not only colonists, but also just ritzy ass landlords. God damn. I can see why it's cringe, to be honest.
There was another ship that was a prison ship, and there was a guy from it that like leads a like rebellion, and the whole episode's like, is he a freedom fighter or a terrorist? It's, you know, the whole theme of the episode.
Mm, makes sense. It's it was cool. called El Che.
And there's a lot of religious themes.
Mm. All right. Yeah. I mean, another one that, what is this, what, 10, 15 years late? I don't know. But yeah, yeah. I think my next one's kind of also kind of like 2008 or 2000 and late. Okay, my next media is a YouTube channel, which I've brought in before and full-throatedly supported. You know, I thought about it because that's actually really, actually it would be more contemporary than the one that I'm bringing in, but I already talked about them last week, so we're in a bonus episode. I'm bringing in Small Ant. So the classic cringe of, I don't understand why people like watching other people play video games. Small Ant is like a multi video game, multi top 10, like world breaking, speedrunner, different challenge of video games based on like ROM hack, type person. And it's not lost on me that like I'm a grown man supporting another like 25-year-old Canadian guy named Trevor, living the dream of just playing video games all day. But goddamn if he isn't entertaining, and goddamn if he doesn't know the games, and goddamn if he isn't a fast learner, and goddamn if like one of the things where he broke a world record was sharpening pencils, and like part of what makes him great is just determination. Like it's not just like he knows how to press buttons on a controller well, or that he knows all the like swaps and skills and stuff and like natures and Pokemon, are all the ways to do tricks in Mario Odyssey. He's just a very dedicated, talented person, and they're fun to watch. I don't know what to tell you. That's the whole, you know, why watch professional sports instead of, playing sports yourself argument, right? It's like, sometimes it's just fun to watch someone who's really good at what they do.
Did Phil agree this guy was cringe?
No. Originally, when I pitched to Phil my three, it was going to be anime, and then Good Mythical Morning is what I was going to bring in. And then I was like, eh, I mean, it's like a huge YouTube channel, but I don't know how much crossover there is with ours. I think it's mostly just Hunter, who I know who likes that channel. And I'm like, I watch it with my finger on the skip 5 seconds forward button, because it's just, there's just so much bullshit in that fucking show. But yeah, no, like, I think that one's maybe more cringe, just because it fits in that. I was one of those people, you know, freshman year of college, where I would watch Patrick watch people play Call of Duty, and I was like, I don't understand this, but.
Yeah, I guess I don't know Small Ant, but it sounds like normal YouTube content.
Mostly Pokemon. Mostly, you know, different challenges with different rule sets on how to do the game.
Is whatever. He one of those people that's like, can we beat Pokemon without catching a single Pokemon?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
He's one of those.
That type of shit.
Yeah.
And it's fun, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff
the
is
The main
fun.
Thing I've learned from watching him is that, like, if you can get past the first gym, you can kind of do all of those challenges. Like the hardest part is always the beginning when they put those rules on you.
Also, like you said, those types of challenges are cool because it's not about the guy being... It's about the person being smart with the rules and logic of the game, not about them being the best gamer. Like, which, you made the sports analogy, but I will say one thing that is lost on me when people make that analogy is usually, yeah, but you can see the people playing sports. You can't see the guy's fingers moving on a controller to know how incredible what they're doing.
You can see the result of it on the screen, though. Yeah.
But I think logic stuff and stuff where people find bugs and exploits is more interesting for that reason. Mm-hmm. Because the result is a more interesting look than being like, oh my god, he's playing StarCraft with the most clicks per minute that anybody's ever done playing StarCraft.
I'll say this too. I think there's a couple things. So his big things are Pokemon, Breath of the Wild, and Mario Odyssey. But he's also like won tournaments against professional people who do Minecraft because he just like learned the game well enough to get the ins and outs of it and be like, okay, this is my third time playing Minecraft and I'm going to win this tournament of like people who do it professionally. He's a goddamn prodigy. Yeah.
All right. You ready for my last one, Adrian?
Yeah. What you got?
This one?
Is your last one eating pussy? Because that's mine.
Cringe.
DJ Khaled's the one deciding what's cringe or not, right?
No, this last one's a little bit different than the other two. I was going to do Family Guy here, and I decided to go for something a little bit different.
Hey, shout out to Toonrific Tariq, who I watch on YouTube, who's an avid Family Guy defender.
I do like Family Guy, and it does... I remember my college roommates were like, what? That show is so cringy. I was like, I don't know. It's funny. I don't... like.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I had enough, because I really... like it
haven't kept up with it.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with it since like 2009, and it's like, also I don't think I have anything interesting to say about it, but I went for this movie instead. And I think what makes this different is than my last two is that I don't know if it's cringy on its own. It's kind of one of those things that's cringy because it's a victim of its own success. It suffers from the Catcher in the Rye syndrome of a very specific critique becoming almost inseparable with the art itself.
Oh, yeah, I know what this is.
I think most people would enjoy this film on a surface level watch without any preconceptions, but it's become heavily associated with a certain type of person.
This is, what's it? What's the name? Tyler Durden? Where is my mind? Fight Club.
Yeah. So it's become really associated with a certain type of millennial anti-consumerist bro. But yeah, I think it's fun. I think it has fun dialogue, great acting. The momentum of the film is great. It's one of those movies where you just kind of, you're watching it and you're hooked the whole time. There's never like a dull moment. Mm-hmm. The famous twist doesn't really ruin it or mar the film just because you know it. The way it's shot is memorable. I feel like sometimes, like I can close my eyes and see Brad Pitt and Edward Norton's like bloody face. That's just like how like those fight scenes are really memorable. And I think there's usually two sides to this argument. The side that's the message of the film was that the characters were to be idolized for the violence and misogyny versus the people who claim it's a story depicting how people feel abandoned and then turn to violence and misogyny because they feel that they deserve more from society, typically privileged white men.
People are so atomized.
Yeah, so those are usually the but I think if you forget those narratives, I think most people would probably just enjoy the damn movie. It's one of those things where I think a certain type of bro overrated it, said it was the best movie ever for too long, and there was just like a societal like we're gonna put up our fence. This movie actually sucks. And well, it's like, it doesn't suck.
Here's my situation. I don't want to get all Lindsay Ellis about it. I think when we're talking about audiences, the thing that gets me, and no offense to Adam, who had a Reservoir Dogs poster in his college dorm in the most cliche way possible, if someone asked you your favorite three movies, this wouldn't be there, right?
No, of course not.
And that's where I think it gets cringe. Is that that's where like there's like a warning sign of like that's a red flag. Is if one of his top three movies is Fight Club, then you have to be like, ooh, does he understand it? Or is it like Fight Club and BoJack Horseman and Rick and Morty? Or like what are his top three things? Like
I feel like the Catcher in the Rye comparison is very, to me, really like makes sense. It's like the things that
which Beatle did we lose due to where is my mind?
It's like you can hear the argument in your head, right? Of one person being like, it's misogynistic. And the guy being like, actually, it's a critique of that type.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. So wait, your argument is that the movie is misogynistic?
No, I think the guy is probably right. But it is funny that it's just like it's become so standardized what different people are supposed to believe about this film.
Yeah. No, I get that. All right. Are you ready for my last one?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Last night we let the liquor talk. No, I'm just kidding. That's not toxic at all. That's great. All right, cringe. Paul, let me ask you a question. When you think about soccer, right? Is that not just a bunch of guys trying to kick a ball into a net?
Yeah.
So when you think about battle rap, that's basically just like two dudes trying to act gangster while writing poems about each other angrily, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You agree that's not a reductive way to think about an art form, right?
No, that's pretty accurate. You've just described
battle. It's definitely rap. One of those things where when you're on Reddit and you see a white guy in a rap battle talking about how his opponent doesn't actually do anything besides gun bars, like that's good rapping, right? Like that's like that's good rap battle.
Well,
that's
did he do it really fast?
Yeah. Or like if you watch 8 Mile, like that's like what rap battle is, and that's where it is now, and that's where it's always been, and it hasn't evolved as an art form.
That's
you agree
true.
With those things, right?
Yeah.
And if you like it, you're a little dumb, right?
I've been saying it.
What if I told you I don't agree with those things?
Wait, what?
And once again, I'm not bringing in a specific thing, but I'm going to go ahead and defend battle rap with my boy Phil co-writing this. I think anyone who doesn't, who cringes at the audience or clips of battle rap that comes out is inherently uninformed. They're calling it terrible without even knowing what half the bars mean because they either don't know the culture, they don't know the history, or they don't know the equipment, the guns or whatever. I think people who think it's bad because it's not fast enough or because there's no beat, so there's no flow over it, which there's still flow to battle rap. I think all of that is easily defendable as like, I don't lose sleep over people thinking that it's cringy to like battle rap because it's so clear how uninformed someone who doesn't like it and hasn't given it a chance is. You can obviously give it a chance and not like it. I don't care about that. I think it's one of those things where people who don't like it are really, and vocal about it, are really only people who have just like seen one or two clips online.
You know, with how emotional you're getting, all I can think is,
look at you.
Look at you.
I think I've made a very logical argument. I made postulates. Postulate A. If you're uninformed.
Okay.
Oh, and also, you know, you're anti-black and also culturally imperialist or whatever.
How do you feel about the internal?
Especially if you're worried about like the violence and gun in the gun.
That was about what I was about to bring up. What's the how do you
respond? You're a little white ass nerd, cultural imperialist, anti-black motherfucker.
How do you respond to the claims that there's too much misogyny and violence internal?
How much violence and misogyny is internal to your culture?
My culture of what?
Whoever is giving that critique.
Like their ethnic culture? So you would attack them on an ethnic basis because they attacked your hobby? That seems a little bit dark, Adrian.
I mean, I assume it's a white American. I don't know. I assume that's what the role you're playing as.
What if,
How many mass shootings has battle rap caused? And how many mass shootings has white kids in the suburb caused? How does that differ on your opinion of misogyny in American culture?
All right, speak on it, Adrian X.
That's all I'm saying. Why is it that it is up to our most subjugated, oppressed people to be the premier example of progressive values in this culture, where you are obviously coming at it from a place of supremacy. Your culture has no better example for us of a culture that really displays these values that you're talking about.
Oh, damn, Cornel Westrian.
You neoliberal.
Do I have any other points about battle rap?
Battle rap has a female champion of the year. When was the last female president of America?
What was the last time that you saw, as somebody who likes battle rap and doesn't think it's cringy, when was the last cringy battle rap you saw? Like, within the lens of the culture, you thought, oh, that's from a famous battle rapper, that was a cringy performance.
Oh, there's plenty of those. I mean, there are plenty of people who don't prepare well enough, but I think my example would be Charlie Clips, who, like, he's a legend, but people literally had to start putting into his contract, you have to write your material. You can't just freestyle the entire time, because that's what he would do, is he'd be like, I'm good enough at freestyle, and I'll take the check, I'll come up, and I'll just come up with the bars, like, on the spot.
Oh, he had enough clout and, like, that he would still get booked, and he was getting booked so often and, like, not doing well.
Yeah, and so I think there was one battle where, like, okay, so not only was it cringe because of him, but also the way URL thought it would be really cool is to make like a brick Brooklyn studio set, almost like a high school play. So you can imagine that, right? Like a Brooklyn alleyway. And so, like, he's literally freestyling and using the props of, like, he's going up the steps and being like, because I'm taking a step up on you or whatever. And people are, like, reacting to it. And everyone in the chat is like, that's so bad. He clearly didn't write any of the material he's using right now. And it shows. So that's my latest example. That happened, like, 4 years ago. There's clearly examples that happened way before that. I mean, I don't know. What else? There's Big K getting Big K kicking A-Ward's ass, and A-Ward being like, I made you rap like that. It's, like, one of his, like, things that he says in between his bars. And it's just like the host being like, yeah, I made you kick my ass like that. Like, or the guy who was reacting to the video was like, yeah, I made you kick my ass like
that. To turn this into a rap battle episode, because I think we should do a whole episode on rap battles. But what is the rule on that? Like, do you get deducted points? Why aren't people, like, it seems like people are pretty respectful about not interrupting too much. Is it just like you'd be seen as a bitch if you did it too much? Or yeah.
It makes you seem salty, because a lot of times it happens where, like, either you seem salty or someone's trying to bring in an allegation that the person's trying to say isn't true. So they'll be like, you said this, and they'll be like, no, I didn't. And they'll be like, you said it, it's on camera or whatever. And they start arguing, and it's like, okay, just let him spit the round and we'll decide afterwards whether or not that's true or not. Like,
yeah, I guess that's what I was wondering, salty about that. I actually feel like from the battle raps I've seen, it doesn't really happen, and you would just assume, like, it'd be an easy way to fuck up the other person, but I guess it would be so obvious that's what you were trying to do that it would come off
looking bad. Yeah, no, if you're classy, you won't say anything about it, but
yeah,
some battlers are kind of annoying in that way.
Interesting.
But yeah,
but there's no official rule. You don't get kicked out of the battle. You don't get an automatic loss.
The host will sometimes try and, like, talk to you and just be like, hey, like, let him spit his rounds or whatever. Which is not cringe at all. I think battle rap isn't cringe at all. It can be cringe. I think any of what we picked out, there's probably cringe episodes.
Well, that's why I asked you about specific ones, because you like the art form, but I think something where emotions are so high, creativity and an audience are involved, and there's a competitive element, has to have cringe occurrences, even if you don't think the concept is cringe.
Yeah, there are moments where people boo.
It seems like it's made to watch somebody fail in a funny way.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot. It's evolved a lot. That's what I'm saying, is that, like, it's not just people freestyling in a schoolyard anymore. It's big stage, three rounds, acapella prepped.
But isn't that really the most impressing type of battle rap? Two kids keeping it real, drumming on their locker.
Being able to write to your opponent, being able to dig at your opponent's soul, being able to, like, crush somebody so they never come back to battle rap because you just crush them so hard.
You can do that so much better in high school. You know their ex-girlfriend, you know their parents, you know all their friends.
Yeah, you can be like Sharon and be like, hey, we all know you at the other school that your friend died in that car crash, and we all wish it was you. And then people start trying to fight you. I mean, he said it in a way that rhymed, so I guess it was better. But yeah, I don't know how else to say it, man. Like, it's way different than what people think it is, and I feel no need to defend it, but I do love it.
Interesting thing for somebody who just spent 20 minutes defending it to say.
Well, that was the point of this third segment. I don't know what to I don't know what to tell you. That was the assignment.
Emotional, Adrian.
I understood the assignment.
All right, big facts, no cap, get out of here.
Yeah, this was a good one.
Yeah. Big fact. Reddit cringe content is much cringier as a concept than any of the content they actually post to those subreddits.
Hmm. That's true. And my no cap, you have to accept as you get older, to the young generation, you're always going to be cringe. Mm. And you have to accept that. It's going to happen no matter what. If you get older and people aren't calling you cringe, you're doing something wrong.
Honestly, yeah, a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.